Hey, first off, how did your time at both Northeastern and Harvard prepare you for to become the coach that you are today?
Well, it was a great experience at both places. You know, Barry Gallup, who's the assistant AD at Boston College, was nice enough to give me a job. I was unemployed after going to Ohio University. We went a glamorous 0-for-11 and didn't have any job. I had four children, and my wife was pregnant. And Barry was good enough to give me a job, and I loved coaching every minute there. I was the offensive coordinator. Barry was excellent to work for, and you know, we had a winning season in the Yankee Conference, the first time I think they ever had one there in 96, I want to say. And then I was fortunate to I used to drive by Harvard every single day at work going to Northeastern, and then so I cut my commute down about 10 minutes. And you know, Tim Murphy's just done a fantastic job there, as you guys know, and what a wonder, you know, excellent coach and program that he has there, and I really enjoyed that experience as well. So
a lot of New England connections on your staff, Joe. Is that some of this coming back from your time here?
Yeah, you know, Jimmy Turner, I worked with at Northeastern University. He's coaching our line. Lou Anarumo is coaching our secondary. I worked with him at Harvard. And, you know, used to work the Holy Cross camp with Kevin Coyle, you know, 100 years ago. And, yeah, we got quite a few guys from that region, no doubt about it.
Joe, Rich Garvin from the Worcester Telegram here.
Yes.
Can you just speak specifically about Mike Sherman and Kevin Coyle and the jobs they've done as your coordinators?
Yeah. Well, you know, when I was fortunate enough to get this job, I knew it was going to be important to hire, number one, excellent coaches, but number two, people that I could have total trust and faith in, and guys that were loyal. And that's the first and foremost thing. I'm delighted about having both of them as the coordinators. Obviously, they have double-digit years of experience in the National Football League. Mike's been a proven winning head coach in the National Football League. He was the head coach for six seasons and had five winning seasons, so I think he knows you know, how to build a winner, and he's a great resource to have. Kevin Coyle's, you know, a dedicated professional, and you know, made a nice contribution in 11 years in Cincinnati. He's an unselfish guy and a real pro, and so to have both those guys is on the staff, I feel very fortunate.
How's the working relationship with your former English professor?
You know, it's gone well, and you know, he loves football. Mike's one of the hardest working guys I've ever been around, might be the hardest I've ever seen, and you know, he takes everything seriously, takes it to heart, wants to do a great job for, you know, the organization, for the players, and you know, he's a heck of a coach, and but it's been a good relationship.
Joe, Michael Vega, Boston Globe here. I just want to ask you a little bit about the reason behind maybe bringing Mike aboard. Was it because you had in mind drafting Ryan Tannehill? And how has that relationship helped him, you know, as a quarterback, make that seamless transition where he has some familiarity with, you know, some of the offensive schemes you have?
Yeah. Well, the first part of the question, Rich, was had nothing to do with it. I mean, as you guys know, the draft is very hard to predict, and at that time in mid-January when we hired Mike, you know, I barely knew who Ryan Tannehill was between you, me, and the four walls. So that had nothing to do with it. I knew, again, I hired him for his leadership, his professionalism, and his expertise as an offensive coach. But that being said, you know, since the second part of the question, I think it's helped quite a bit. I mean, he knows how the kid thinks. He knows how the kid acts. You know, and sometimes I think, not sometimes, I believe the coordinator and the quarterback have to be on the same page and have to kind of view the game the same way, if you will. And, you know, I think that part of the relationship, you know, has been helpful, no question.
Did that kind of bear fruit last weekend when, you know, Ryan has to drive the team down for the winning score there in the fourth quarter, first time he's ever had to do it in the league?
Yeah, you hope we had really, luckily we had an extra practice day in there because we were coming off a Thursday night game. And as you guys know, we didn't execute very well up in Buffalo on two situations where, you know, we had opportunities as poorly as we played offensively up there. We had two opportunities late in the game to win the game. So next, you know, in coaching, you're always attempting to fix something or improve something. So we devoted a lot of time to the two-minute offense last week. I'm not saying that the relationship certainly hurt that thing, but I think it was more just about the execution and the guys believing that they could do it more than anything else.
Coach,
looking at the Patriots, obviously go down, they win, they can clinch. What do you tell your guys going into a game like that where the other team's coming into your place with a chance to clinch the division title?
You know, I believe it or not, this is the honest-to-God truth, I didn't even know that. You know, I'm not surprised as I'm looking at, you know, what they've done the last 5 weeks. But, you know, we're looking to improve and play better. You know, we thought we did some things as a team that we hadn't done here yet. This is our 11th week together, and we're going into week 12, playing our 12th game. We've got to show a lot of improvement to beat this football team. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, we're not worried necessarily about that. We're worried about how well they're executing in all three phases of the game. But as far as the standings right now, that's not really a focus of ours.
They've only been missing him for 1 week, but how different do the Patriots look without Rob Gronkowski in the lineup?
Well, they looked pretty good the other night when I saw them. I didn't watch a whole lot on Thanksgiving night, but I've watched it since, and they played very, very well. You know, obviously, the guy's a heck of a football player, and what he's done in his short career is extremely impressive. But, you know, they have good players, and as you guys know, when injuries occur, teams have to adjust and move on, and, they moved on for quite well against the Jets.
Joe, this is Mike Reese with ESPNBoston.com, and, you know, I'm curious your initial impressions of the AFC East, you know, given that this is your first time, you know, in the division after the long stretch with the Packers.
Yeah. As you guys know, I grew up in the area up there, so I'm, you know, familiar with having watched a lot of games growing up over the years, watching the AFC East. In those days, you know, you couldn't get any game on television like you can these days, you know. So if you watch the NFL, that's what you saw when you were in Springfield, Massachusetts. So, I think it's a good competitive division. I like the, obviously there's some good rivals that we have with all rivalries with all three, teams, and I think those, you know, all of us are three of us are a work in progress at this stage, and one team is playing very, very well.
And to build off that question, the Patriots, as you said, have, you know, in maybe in a different class right now than the other three. What do you see from them that sort of puts them maybe a further above the other three, other than the record, obviously?
Yeah. Plus 24 is what I see. They take the ball away. I think Chicago has one more takeaway than them, but I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they're second in the league in takeaways, and then they lead the league with only 8 giveaways. I mean, that's a great place to start if you want to talk about winning football games in the National Football League. It's a great credit to their players and their coaches. These guys do a fantastic job. I mean, we're minus 10. That's not very good, and they're plus 24. That's outstanding. They should, you know, that's a tremendous place to, you know, build your program around. So I would say that's the one thing that jumps out at me.
And what is your personal philosophy on turnovers in terms of, can a team, you know, create, you know, have a knack at creating them, or are turnovers as much the opposition maybe not doing what they're supposed to do, which is secure the ball?
I think it's a little of both, Mike. I think there's a yes and yes to that. I mean, you know, I'm guessing we devote practice time to taking the ball away, stripping the ball, putting your eyes on the football when you tackle, clubbing the ball, punching the ball, and yet we only have 11 takeaways so far. So our practice time win, our, you know, production don't match up. But my guess is New England devotes time to it, and they're good at it. You know, and again, sometimes you have to take advantage of an opportunity if an opponent does make a mistake. Certainly you're going to have a chance to get some takeaways there too, but I would guess, as thorough and as detailed as those guys are, I'm sure they work on it and they do it well.
Joe, Michael Vega from the Globe again. When you took over the job there in Miami, how important was it to you to inherit a player like Reggie Bush and help maybe build around him?
Yeah. Well, you know, this is a player's game. There's no question about it. I mean, coaching's important, but none of us would be employed if it wasn't for the players. So, you know, the more good players you can have on your roster, the better chance you have at winning. And as you know, there's a lot of parity in this league. There's a lot of good players in this league and a lot of good coaches. But we're certainly fortunate when you have a guy like Reggie Bush.
Coach, looking back, what did the experience of the Hard Knocks mean to this team and the organization?
You know, I think when I decided to do it, I said, you know, I don't know that Hard Knocks is going to win us a game, and I sure don't think it's going to lose us a game. And we're 5-6 right now, and I don't think Hard Knocks really has really impacted our season one way or the other. The only thing I would tell you is that NFL Films and HBO Sports are true professionals. I mean, they're first-class people, and they treated our players great, and they were excellent to work with. So, you know, beyond that, I don't know that it's really had any impact on our season, though.
Did Jimmy Turner get newfound notoriety from it?
Well, if you go back to my May press conference in regard to Hard Knocks, I said that I'd probably be looking for an offensive line coach after the season because the guy, you know, one guy is going to go to Hollywood, and that's Turner. So I'm not very smart, but I knew that much. I knew he was going to be a rock star after that.
Speaking of your offensive line, it's not really a question, but could you just kind of touch on the contributions they've had this season?
Yeah, you know, it's a group that we like. We got some young guys in there. You know, obviously we got a rookie right tackle who, you know, we think is coming along and developing, and Pouncey's in his second year, and then, you know, our left side, you know, a little Jake's in his fifth year, and Richie's been around a little while. And then, you know, we have John Jerry at the right guard. You know, I think that they've done some nice things. We haven't been quite as consistent, I think, as we'd like to be. And, you know, we got to get our run game. You know, we started the year, the first 3-4 weeks of the season, you know, I thought we were going to be a very good running team, a very good defend-the-run team. And, you know, we kind of went through a stretch there where we didn't run the ball very well at all. And that's not a good formula for us.
Incognito's gained a lot of notoriety over his career, and he really embraces it. How does a coach feel about that?
Well, I think if you look, you know, the proof's in the pudding. I think he has one unnecessary roughness call in 11 games, and, you know, when it happened, I took him out of the game immediately. It was not a smart play on his part, but aside from that, I watch the film every week. He's probably got 700-some plays on tape, and I think he plays the game hard, and I think, he's played the game the right way. I would imagine if he was playing dirty and all that other stuff that he would get called unnecessary roughness and all that other stuff. He's had one. It was it should have been called. It was called, and it was dealt with.
We'll do one more question, guys.
Coach, just on a local guy, I know it didn't work out for you, but I'm curious with Ryan Duran. Sometimes guys get cut because it's just roster manufacturing, and sometimes it's inefficiency. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, he's a great, you know, unfortunately, you know, at this stage he didn't have a very long stay, but certainly, as you guys know, you know, things change. Everything, your roster is such a, you know, a fluid thing, and he seems like a, you know, real quality guy, and, you know, he was only here a brief time, but did everything we asked him to do, and as you guys know, sometimes you make moves for a variety of reasons, and, I was very impressed with him when he was here.
Thanks a lot.
All right, guys, thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Coach.